Amen. Well, we're coming today to the final in our series on brotherly love. If you remember, at the beginning of the year, we said we need to come back to basics. And one of the things, as we looked at it, was that brotherly love is one of those things which the Bible emphasizes over and over again. And it's good to remind ourselves of that. And we started off with three verses, three very, very simple but very important verses that reminded us of three things. First of all, that the Lord has commanded us to love one another. Sometimes we might feel loving towards somebody, sometimes not. But whether we feel loving or don't feel loving, we're commanded to love one another. We're in John 4, 20 and 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also, whenever he feels it. No, it doesn't say it like that, does it? No. It says, must love his brother also. That's just the way that it is. So it's integral to being a Christian. We would have to question whether we're Christians at all if we didn't love our brothers and sisters. Secondly, we saw that loving our brothers and sisters is one of the means that the Holy Spirit uses to assure us that the work of God in our hearts is real, that we have indeed been born again, that we are heading for heaven, that we are children of God. 1 John again, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. That's assurance, isn't it? We know. Not we think, not we hope. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Many things that God uses to assure us that we really are his, but one of the chief things he uses is the love that we have for our brothers and sisters only proceeds from a changed heart. And we know that we have a changed heart, that God's Spirit lives within us when, not perfectly, we know it's not perfectly, but there is that real love for our brothers and sisters. People who were not our brothers and sisters before this, but now are our brothers and sisters, and we are part of that new family. Thirdly, all these are linked, of course, but thirdly, last but not least, it's a wonderful means of evangelism. In fact, I would go so far as to say, you're better not even try evangelizing if you don't love your brothers and sisters. Don't go out and knock the door or put something up on the internet about how wonderful the love of God is, and then people realize you hate your brothers and sisters. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Who's the all will know? It's the people out there, isn't it? The people who don't yet know what God is really like, know who Jesus is, or know what he's really like, or know the difference that his Holy Spirit living in our hearts and lives can make. But they'll know it this way, if we have love one for another. Then we spent some time looking at the fact that if it is this important, and it is, we would expect that Satan would, to use a military term, train his big guns on this particular issue. If it involves obedience to God and assurance of our salvation and the means to reaching out to others, then it's going to be under attack. And we looked at the attitudes that hinder us from loving our brothers and sisters. Self-love, self-reliance, self-protection, hostile attitudes, lack of self-control. And the final one we'll look at today, lack of prayer. Or to put it positively, prayer. And particularly prayer with and for our brothers and sisters is integral to brotherly love. What did Paul say in the reading that we just read? And notice he says it in the context of the attacks from the devil. He says it in the context of putting on the whole armor of God. And the implication, it seems to me, is that all of these attributes which make up the armor of God, righteousness and faith, and the gospel of salvation, that all of them are dependent on each other and dependent upon prayer. And so he says, praying. Now notice some of the key words here, always. With all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit. being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I mean, did you count how many times you said all there? All. This is key. This is important. This is not an added extra in our Christian life. This is how we do it. And in case you didn't realize it yet, he says, and pray for me. Now, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer from the brothers and sisters, do you need prayer? Do I need prayer? Of course we do. And he goes on to say, so that he could fulfill his ministry. So, for the church to be the church the way it's supposed to be, brotherly love is essential. And for brotherly love to be brotherly love as brotherly love is meant to be, prayer is essential. So the first thing, you notice I usually start with this, prayer is commanded. There are times you may not feel like praying. Doesn't matter, prayer is commanded. There are times it may come into your mind, well, I don't really want to pray for that person. Doesn't matter, prayer is commanded. In one sense, the fact that it's commanded kind of makes it easy. Because we can throw all the other excuses out of the way then. Says, well, I know I don't feel like doing it. I know part of me saying I don't want to pray for him or her, but you know what? God commands me and I'm going to do it anyway. Amen? Lack of prayer, to put it another way, is disobedience. So our Christian life always has to start at the point of obedience. The Christian life is ordered around what God tells us to do. And what he tells us to do, he wonderfully equips us to do. He tells us in his word and he equips us by his spirit. So it's not depending on what we feel or what the latest trend is amongst other Christians. So let's look then at how important prayer is. Well, how does God command us? Well, there's two ways. By precept, in other words, this is what you should do. He literally tells us what you should do, but also by example. And so, the first thing we can say about how we know prayer is important and how we know it was commanded is that it was in the what I call the DNA of the early church. Remember in Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were the four big pillars on which the church was built, if you like. And so when Peter was arrested, I mean, can you imagine how devastating it was? James was arrested, he was beheaded. And so when Herod saw that this went over well with the populace, he says, well, I'll arrest Peter as well. And it was pretty obvious what Peter's fate was likely to be. So what did the church do? Did they panic? No, they prayed. Isaac read for us earlier on from Acts 12, constant prayer was offered for Peter by the church. You see, I think they prayed for Peter, not because, well, this is an emergency, what do we need to do? I know, we'll pray. No, they prayed for Peter because that's what they always did. That was their spiritual reflex, was to pray.